time for Just Start Talking on Thunder Country. Brought to you by People's State Bank in Albion. Just Start Talking is a community service program from KIIC. And now, live from high atop the square in downtown Albion, Just Start Talking.
Good evening and welcome to Just Start Talking. I'm Beth Hunter. I'm sitting in for Tom Williamson. He's gone this week, but he'll be back next Monday for Just Start Talking. And I'm the lucky one this week. With me tonight, our guests are Faye and Willis Dickerson. They have owned and operated Rathman Country Music Theater for 40 years. The theater is located on County Highway J5T on the same road as the Rathman Lake Dam. The show has consisted of a house band, a comedian, and two guest stars each Saturday night, mainly April through October, and now May through October. And after 40 years of running a successful country music show, they are now planning on this being their last year of owning the business. They live 10 miles south of Unionville, Missouri, and the theater, of course, is at Lake Rathman. Rathman Country Music Theater is an icon in the country music scene, and congratulations, you two, on your success.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here with us.
Good to be here.
And my first question out of the gate is, what made you start this show 40 years ago, and what made you choose this location?
I had a dance band called the Mavericks, five-piece band, and my partner and I were in the band and played every Saturday night, and we had to carry all this equipment. You go in and set it up and then get it loaded back to leave afterwards, and it makes you way late, and then you breathe a lot of smoke at those places where they dance and stuff, and we got tired of that. And Rathman Lake wasn't very old. It hadn't been in business very long, hadn't been open very long. And we decided maybe if we went out there and put a building and we leave all the equipment set, not have to load anything or unload anything. So that's what we did. We put a building in, put all the equipment in it, and just drive home and drive back and play.
What a great idea for both of you. And Faye, you are the you're the greeter. You're also the ticket box office person.
And I make a news sheet about once a month, and generally just the greeter, like you say. Just
you also run the chuck wagon, don't you? Don't you make sure the chow is just right at the theater?
Yeah. But I have good help to help me get that served. So,
So you get there early and get the food on, and you get rehearsals going, get your guest stars going. Now, how many seats are in your theater?
Approximately 450 right now.
450.
We had 500, and it was a little crowded, so we took out 50 seats and made and spaced better, and it helped. Made better to climb over people.
Mm-hmm. Did you build the building?
Yes.
We bought the land.
Bought the land and built the building, and then built a cabin on it that the band members can hang out in. And after the show, we can go out there and eat. We take Carrie in and go out and eat.
Nice. That was kind of a potluck, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is a potluck.
It still is. Because you're still going to hold the show through October of this year.
Yes.
Very good. Were there other businesses at the lake when you started the show?
There was a restaurant just south of us. Went in about the same time. And he didn't last very long, about a year or two.
It was called Buck Creek.
No, restaurant. I'm not sure the name of the restaurant. Maybe it was Buck Creek Restaurant. Mm-hmm. And there were some other cabins. There's three or four cabins went in down there, and they had a dairy lane. And the cabins are still there. The dairy lane closed out.
And then we're not very far from the dam.
Yeah, we're 1 mile north of the dam. Mm-hmm.
And the on the lake, the restaurant on the lake.
Yeah, there was a restaurant down on the lake.
There is still, I think, a restaurant.
Yeah, down at the marina.
At the marina. Louis on the lake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was there also when you first built?
It was there off and on. They would have a restaurant for a while, and then it'd close. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't have one for a while. And then they would have steaks on the lake again, and there you go again. It was kind of off and on.
It was probably Faye's great cooking.
No, we have hot dogs and popcorn. And
doesn't take much cooking.
Maybe that's what everybody really wants to eat, Faye. It's just hot dogs and popcorn on a Saturday night. Well, your show has been and still is so popular. What do you think made your show so popular, and what do you attribute the longevity of your country music show to?
Well, I think the main thing is our band is all like family. Once we get a band together and play together for a while, well, we each get concerned about each other, you know about their families and their wives and kids and husbands, and you just get acquainted just like a one big happy party. And we look forward to that, and they look forward to it. And the people, when you're on stage, if it works like a family operation, the people enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But if it goes up there and it's stiff and everybody's nervous, that crowd's nervous, nothing works.
Got to have a funny guy, got to have a straight man.
Yeah, you got to have a comedian.
And you have a great comedian now, Lonzo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, he's... He plays sax and sings, too. Great voice.
We call him the Gomer Pyle of country music because he doesn't look like much, but, man, when he sings.
You wonder, where did that voice come from?
Yes, yeah. Yes, and he's funny besides. I know your audiences love him.
He told a good joke Saturday night. Sometimes people give him jokes, and then he tells them again, you know. I used to have a comedian, Rufus. Mm-hmm. And people would bring him jokes, and they'd meet out behind the theater or find him somewhere, and then they'd tell him all these jokes, and then he'd turn around, and in the show he'd use them. He just remember them, bingo, there you go.
And he was so good, and I've laughed about this so many times. How many people in this world can get on a stage nearly every Saturday night for as many years as Paul Traynor performed for you, and I've seen him perform other places, and God rest his soul, he would tell washy, washy, washy in the new blue
yeah.
cheer and made it funny every time. If yeah. you'd heard it before, you still laughed. He was just such a funny, funny person, a comedian.
Yeah, he was good. He came in 83, and he came down to audition. And so we only had the entertainers there, no crowd. So we all sat on the front row of the theater and told him to get up and tell some jokes. So his mainstay then was to work with the people in the front rows. He would tell jokes on them. He'd say, well, you do your hair Saturday night, or your hair looks funny and stuff like that, you know. And I said, so after we got done interviewing, he did this thing. I said, I don't think that'll work. I said, I don't believe you can pull stuff on people every week and make them the butt of your joke. I said, and the people in the back row don't seem to know what's going on in the front row. I said, you got to do something for the whole theater. Well, he'd change it. So when he left that day, I said, we'll try you out and see how it works. If it works, well, we'll use you, and if it doesn't, we won't. Well, he came back next week, and he changed that a little. He started trying to quit using those people as the butt of his joke. And each week, everybody on the stage and everything would give him advice.
Of course.
Change this. Don't do that. Excuse me. And then he would change it the next week, and he just got better and better. He went down to Branson and watched some of those comedians. And first thing you know, he was a full-fledged comedian. Could do anything.
We were in the same restaurant with him one night, and his wife, Fern, is a great sport. He would always say, this is my first wife, Fern, mm-hmm. which she was his only wife, which you, even if you didn't know that, my first wife, Fern, is still funny, because if he had another wife that wasn't there, what's he doing out with his first wife tonight? It's funny. And so everybody was out at their own tables, you know, and I heard him say, Fern, get that silverware out of your purse. You know? Of course, everybody's looking at Fern, and Fern had learned through the years she was the straight guy. She didn't laugh. She didn't crack a smile. But we all laughed because he was always getting her good. But go ahead.
One time he wanted to go to Branson, and we said, we'll go with you. So Faye and I and him and Fern went. And he was always pulling stuff on people. So we went into this place that had a pottery, and it had a wheel there that you set the pottery on, and you'd take your foot, and they'd turn it and make pottery. And this guy had been making pottery, and he was sitting there, and he was sitting over to the side, the guy that operated the place. Paul walks up, and he's looking at this pottery, and it says there's a sign on this wheel that says, "Do not spin wheel." So, and you spin it with your foot. So when he wasn't looking, I just took my foot and I gave it a big old spin, and then I walked away, and Paul's standing there looking at it, and I said, "Paul, you're not supposed to spin that." And the guy looks over at him. And I caught him then. With I got one on him that time.
Good for you, Willis. He had it coming. Because he did that stuff to everybody all the time. And you know, he wasn't making it up.
No,
it was just natural.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't make another Paul.
No, they're
another
not.
Newton, another Rufus.
I agree. Yeah. So you do auditions. That was going to be my next question. How do you, through all these years, find entertainers to fill your stage all of those every Saturday night, May through October?
I have people send me CDs that they've made. I've got a cabinet full of CDs of people, local people. Well, not too local, maybe 150, 200 miles away. And I tell them either send me a CD and I'll listen at it, or come down after the show and audition. And then I usually get the piano player or somebody to play a song and have them sing, or we'll play a rhythm for them. Not the whole band, just one or two to hear how they sing or how they play or what they do. And if I like it, I say, I'll write your phone number down and I'll call you. And if I don't like it, I say, "I've got your phone number, I'll call you." And then I don't.
Your secret's out now, Willis.
I know.
Your secret's out.
I just never get around to it.
Well, yeah. I understand. So you are selling your business after 40 years. It must feel like your child, a part of your life, every Saturday night, May through October. All these 40 years, how hard is it to let go?
Well, it would be very hard if it wasn't that my health has deteriorated some. I have heart problems, and I just felt that I couldn't do it another year or two. It was time for me to turn it over to somebody younger. I've been there 40 years, and I turned 80 this year. And
congratulations.
I'm getting old, and the theater's getting old, and I need a new young somebody to run it, so I decided I'll put it up for sale this season and see what happens.
And hope somebody comes along.
Hope somebody comes along that wants to operate it as a theater.
The right person.
Right.
Yeah. Is it going to need to be the right person with all these years being a labor of love and such a vital part of your life? Does it need to be just the right person, or you're going to pass the baton with the expectation that someone? Are you hoping someone will keep it as a country music theater?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I hope they do. I'll work with them and help them make the transition. Anybody wants to buy it, I'll work one season with them and help them change things around and learn how to do it. There's a lot of things on a learning curve to do to keep it going. Mm-hmm. If you didn't, it would die. Mm-hmm. But it's been good to me, and we've had a lot of fun.
Met a lot of nice people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have to tell you about auditioning. We audition people, and earlier we didn't have a snack bar, so we had food after the show. They'd bring food in the back door and have food back there. And so the entertainers have set up a food place back there, and I got this guy who wants to sing. He wants to audition. So Milton and I go up on stage, and we start to audition. We say, "Okay, you sing, and we'll play the rhythm for you." So he gets on the mic, and he sings "Your Cheatin' Heart" about two lines, and then forgets it. And he's standing there, and then he says, "Let me start over." Okay, start over. So then he does it again. He sings "Your Cheatin' Heart." And he's having all kinds of trouble with it. And back in the back, all them guys are starting to eat. And before they brought in the food is after the show. And so I said to Milton, "I want to hear how he sounds back at the back. You just go ahead and play a rhythm for him." So Milton sits up there and looks at me and plays rhythm for this guy trying to sing "Your Cheating Heart." He never does get through it. And I'm back there, got my plate, and I'm eating, and Milton's looking at me. He's about ready to murder me.
Did you? You saved Milton something to eat, though, didn't you?
Yeah. He'll never forget it.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So do you have the same band? You had a 5-piece dance band. How many of those folks are still?
None of them. None of them on the show. They all split up moved away. And as one moves away, I incorporate another one. If they can't get along with the guys, I let them go right on. I don't use them if they're not getting along well. Mm-hmm. So it has to be somebody that wants to get along with everybody.
And wants to be there.
And wants to be there and is talented. If they, I've had people that want to be on the show that couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. But you just can't use those kind. And once in a while, you'll get hooked up. You'll hire a guy on his CD, but when he sings, it sounds nothing like that. It's altogether different and sounds bad. So one certain night, you can get by with it. That just happens once in a while. I've had all kinds of things happen out there. That's been
funny. In 40 years.
It's been funny.
Are you going to write a book?
I don't know.
Faye?
Faye's
shaking her head. No, we're not writing a book.
I'll tell you.
I'm not. He might.
I'll tell you one of the funny experiences. On stage, I had my partner. Of course, he died early, and I bought the place out. But his daughter, for a while, helped run the place, Dale Gebhardt. And this got this girl that's going to sing Cowboy Sweetheart. And Dale gets the idea. She says, now, everybody on stage, when we get to a certain place, we'll all yell, yippee. As big and loud as you can. Now, everybody do this. Okay, we all agree. Then she gets around and tells everybody but Milton, don't do it. Don't make a sound. When Milton yells, everybody look at him. So she sings this song, and when it comes time to yell the yippee, Milton, he belts her out, yippee. And all of us just stop and look at him like, what in the world happened? She was ornery. But it was a good joke on Milton.
That was a good joke.
But her husband got it back on her. She was on stage, and he run the sound. And the stage, the mic cords all go down through the stage, the floor. So one Saturday night, he gets up under the stage. And he knows what chord is her mic chord. As she walks across the stage, she likes to walk back and forth and sing. As she walks across, he takes slack up in the chord. And the chord's getting shorter. So she walks over towards where it goes down through the stage, and he takes up slack again and holds it. And pretty soon, she puts her hand down about her waist, and he just pulls the cord down to there, and she can't get it to her mouth. And he locks it on her stage, and she's got the microphone down about her waist.
So she got on her knees.
She got down on her knees.
She got on her knees.
She knew it was her husband. She said, Vern, if you're under that stage, I'll kill you.
My mind went on to go, so what did she do? Did she go on and sing without the microphone? Oh, no, she got on her knees.
That's right. She got down on her knees and started singing.
The audiences love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they do.
Because that's who you do it for.
It's funny. Yeah.
That's the part, I think, of being in business for 40 years. It's not self-serving. It's all about those folks that come every Saturday night who want to be there. And your welcoming and your warmth and your willingness to be there as musicians and in camaraderie too, Faye.
We only practice 2 hours a week, and that's from 5 to 7 on show night. Mm-hmm. And so each entertainer doesn't get only about 10 minutes to do. If he's doing 5 songs or 3 songs or what, he gets about 10 minutes. You go through a starting and an ending of that song and then go on to the next one.
That's the cliff notes, huh?
And sometimes we make mistakes. But it seems as though the crowd, if somebody makes a mistake, they'll clap him back, likely to sing again because he sung so bad or done something wrong. The crowd is sympathetic. So they just take it right in and enjoy it. And I've had people tell me that they liked the part that it was so unrehearsed. They didn't like it if it was rehearsed because just everything clicks.
Tell about Dana last night. Tell about Dana.
Like last night we had Dana Brown singing. And I can't remember the song, I Can't Help It, If I'm Still in Love with You, and then another one. And I kicked off the wrong one when it came time to sing it. And she couldn't get on it. And then finally I kicked it off right. And then she was confused because she didn't get it the first time.
And she went over to the side of the stage and stood for a few minutes. And then she said, Finally got back to it.
Come back, and Lonnie sang the first line, and then she got it, and away we went. But it was just one of them minutes that everything went blank. But that's the fun of it.
That is.
And we had a good time, even if we didn't mess it up.
So there isn't anything in 40 years that you'd change.
No, I wouldn't change it. It's been just the way we like it. We had twin girls on there, the Davenport twins, many years ago.
From south of Kansas City.
And people liked them so well, we couldn't even get all the people in the theater.
That's when we had 500 people, 500 seats.
And we couldn't get them all in, people liked them so well. And they played a trumpet and sang Bugle Boy, and they were twins, and each one, they knew what they were doing. Each one knew what the other one was doing. And people just enjoyed that. That's probably one our greatest draw was those girls. And every time I'd have them, I'd run the theater over. Couldn't get them in.
My gosh.
There's something else. Now, music's changed now. The older people like the older country, and they don't go for the new. So you're playing to the gray hair people. And if a new one comes out there, you probably don't play much. We probably don't play much of his type music. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to change over the few years here. I don't know what's going to happen. You either have to go to the new music, or maybe some of these newer people will like the old, some of the younger ones. Don't know.
We have a lot of country music fans. KIIC is classic country music, and people of all ages love classic country music. So.
So maybe
I think you're okay.
Okay, that sounds good.
Think you're okay. And I think that maybe we can blur the lines in the future. Blake Shelton says, no, we can't blur the lines. Ray Price says, I think we should, we can, and we will. We'll see. We'll see.
I keep thinking it'll go start back that way, towards the old type country. Mm-hmm. But so far it hasn't. I guess I'm not a fan of the new type music. It all sounds similar to me. I kind of get the same whang on it. So I'm an older person.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like if a music fills your soul, it fills your soul. And if it doesn't fill your soul, then...
And it's everyone on stage right now need music and need to play music. Mm-hmm. And they have a great time together playing. So that's part of the success.
I have three piano players that rotate. I have two fiddle players. I have a couple drummers. I have, right now I'm rotating two bass players once in a while. Excuse me. And they're just, I've got a lot of entertainers that I use different weeks. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to work.
So you, in essence, you have three bands in a way,
yeah.
Because you have to rotate them out because not every player could be there every Saturday night.
And they take turns. If somebody can't, somebody else comes.
Fills in, so that helps a lot to have a backup.
And it makes a different show every night that way.
So you have 4 acres of land on prime real estate right at the dam, right at the marina. With a beautiful theater building, seats 450 people, has a stage, has lights, has a kitchen, a box office.
Sound system.
And your cottage, which is kind of your green room.
Yeah, that's what it is.
The green room at Rathbun Country Music Theater. And you have become known as Iowa's Little Grand Old Opry. Am I saying that
right?
Grand Country Opry. Grand Country.
Say the whole sentence for me, Faye.
Rathbun Theater Grand Country Opry.
That's it.
Not the Grand Old Opry. It's Grand Country.
We found out we can't say Grand Old Opry, spelled by O-L-E like they do, because the copy's Nashville.
Gotcha.
So we have to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Country. We can say that. Can't say Grand Old Country.
Well, hopefully there's someone out there with a fire in their belly and a passion like yours. The same passion that drove the two of you from south of Unionville, Missouri, to southern Iowa, to an area that really wasn't very developed, kind of into the middle of nowhere, and to draw hundreds of people every Saturday night to bring joy into their lives. And the joy, I can see by looking at you two, the joy that this has brought to your lives as well. There's someone out there that wants that adventure and wants that for the next 40 years for themselves.
We hope so.
We've made a lot of friends. We've made a lot of friends over the years of people that come down there. We have people that come every week.
Hardly miss at all.
They get started and they just keep coming, and that's really helps out. That's a mainstay. And then we have people from other states. We have from Illinois that comes, and Missouri. We get a lot out of Missouri, and Iowa. We draw people from Cedar Rapids, Waterloo,
Pella,
Knoxville. North is good country music fans. Anything north?
Northern Iowa?
Yeah.
Well, not northern.
I'm going to say north of middle Iowa. Mm-hmm. It's good country. Pella, we draw a lot from Pella. And a lot of them are Dutch. But they like country music. And I like that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one thing. Our crowd is so over such a big area that a local event doesn't affect us much. You can have right in Moravia's right there by us. They can have their summer fling or whatever it is they have. Doesn't affect us because we don't draw them from there. We draw them from farther off.
All around. Yeah.
Same with Centerville. They can have a big celebration. Bluegrass festivals doesn't affect us. They can have one right next to us and it doesn't affect us. We still draw about the same crowd. So, and we started out many years ago featured a bluegrass band. In with our band, and
entertain for so long, and then their band, and that was the way we went for a while until we decided that our band needed to be on stage all the time with guests.
So we quit the bluegrass bands. Well, we were drawing country instead of bluegrass people. They wanted to hear country, and we found out that we drawed a better crowd. We went all country, mm-hmm. So we just went all country.
And bluegrass and country can live together, mm-hmm. Although there is a separation at a point. It's funny to say that. A lot of country music crosses into bluegrass. Bluegrass can cross over into country. Mm-hmm. But a band that is strictly country to perform as strictly country is fine, but if you'd ask them to play bluegrass, it doesn't work.
No.
Any more than it does to ask a bluegrass band to be country for a night. And I guess my observation has been it's the same with the fans, too.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
We had, back many years ago, we had the Vincent family with
Rhonda.
Rhonda,
sure.
Was on our show
sure.
Before she went big time. And they played bluegrass. Well, the following of bluegrass around this area wasn't very big. So we never did get too big a crowd. But if they threw in some country, people like it, you know. So I don't know.
You know the finesse. You do know the finesse. After 40 years, you know the finesse. You know what your audience wants.
You got to go with it.
And that's something important you're going to need to pass on. Somehow you must pass that on to a new owner in order for Rathbun Country Music Theater to continue on.
I'll work with anybody that wants to take it over. And there's a lot of little niches things that you got to do, mm-hmm. or it won't work. And
so if someone wanted to look into buying your theater, would they call you to do that?
Yes.
Do you want to give our listeners that number?
660-344-2310.
And give it to me one more time. Get your pencils, guys.
660-344-2310.
Very good. Fay and Willis Dickerson, it has been my pleasure and an honor to interview you here on Thunder Country KIIC for Just Start Talking. I was looking forward to seeing you and having you here with us, and hearing your stories. If I had more time, in fact, I'm going to sign off for now. We're going to sit here and tell some more country music stories. I'm Beth Hunter here on Thunder Country KIIC with Faye and Willis Dickerson, the owners of Rathbun Country Music Theater. Hey, if you've got a little fire in your belly and you want to sing, you play an instrument, you'd like to own a country music theater right on the lake, why, give them a call. And thank you, too, again.
Thank you.
So
thank you. Enjoyed it.
Thank you.